Now y'all know how I roll when I work.
All right, let's get it in. We're going to have a little Dolly Parton to get us all inspired to talk about that maintenance. All right. Say hello when you come in. I'm going to give y'all a minute to get in here. Especially since all y'all getting off work. All right. All right, y'all. Let's do it. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We are talking, hello, happy Monday, everyone. So I bet that I have some Queens Club up in here because we are going to be talking about some maintenance. It does not matter, you guys, where you're at in the weight loss journey. You can still take advantage of this call. There's literally not going to be any calls in PNP where you can't sit there and listen to what someone's getting coached on and probably apply it to your own stuff that's going on. So today what I want to do is I really want to focus on, we're going to be talking about like how do you determine your maintenance range? How do you get comfortable with it? I'm going to let you guys ask questions and do all the things. We're going to do some coaching at some point if you guys want any. The biggest thing is I would love to know what your questions about the maintenance range is, experimenting, and kind of what is it like when you're getting closer and closer to your goal. So let me just kind of tell you from my own experience. I was actually coaching a few of the yesterday mentors, and some of them were, and they're getting coached on, like, they're at a point where they've lost so much weight that they feel really good, and there's this phenomenon that hits, and it's like you don't really get to your goal, but you get to this place that you feel so much better than you did that you kind of want, like, it's like you trick yourself into thinking that you can't just keep going. Like, you need to just be happy and you need to just, like, enjoy this. And that all comes from a thought that the next bunch is going to be painful and hard and you're going to have to get serious and, like, all these things. And so I've just kind of been talking to them about, like, listening for those little lies we tell ourselves that convinces us not to keep going and just see what happens. I would much rather a lot of you, as you're losing your weight, when you start hearing, like, it just is like when you start noticing that you're feeling better and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, we should just eat to a 3 now. It becomes so sneaky and so easy to put back in some of the older eating patterns to mask like something that might be going on. Like maybe you're running up on this idea that you don't want to have to eat less. And you have to, rather than asking yourself, well, that's weird. Why would I not want to eat less than what I'm eating now if my body doesn't need that much? And it's like being like a lot of times, like when you continue to go for your goal, it just allows you to kind of start questioning things that maybe in the past you wouldn't have. So one of the things I want to talk about is determining the maintenance range. So if you guys don't know, in phase 4 of No BS, it's all material that's about basically the things that happen when we have about 20 pounds left to lose, and then what happens when you're going to be maintaining and kind of adjusting to that lifestyle. I think one of the things that I notice is that the diet industry just doesn't really teach us kind of how to make those adjustments. You know, one of the things that I'm teaching you to do is, like, I want you to get there in a way where you like what you're doing to get there, so that once you get there, it's easy. Like, the application and the how is the simple part. The hard part becomes turning off diet brain, turning on maintenance brain, like releasing fear that you're going to gain weight. You know, like, people think that, like, for me personally, I still plan my food every day. And they're like, well, I don't want to be a planner the rest of my life. And that is just something to be interested in. Like, well, why wouldn't I want to keep planning my food? What is the story I have around planning food? For me, the story I have around planning food is it makes eating simple. It makes it very easy for me to figure out what are the best things to put in my body. Like, my story around planning, it's pretty fucking, like, wonderful. So I want to do it. But if you have this idea, like, if you've been, and I watch a lot of people lose weight this way, you tell yourself planning's hard, but I do it because I really want to lose the weight. Or, you know, planning takes time, but I do it because I really want to lose weight. That's like subtle white knuckling. It's not like I'm making myself be a planner. It's like that little bit of like, I'm kind of not embracing, like the story I'm telling isn't really embracing what it could be. What I'm doing is I'm compelling myself to do it by like dangling a carrot. Well, what happens is that when you lose the weight, you don't have the carrot of the weight loss. So all you're left with is planning is hard. Planning is time consuming. I don't really like it, but I do it anyway. Like you're just left with like, if you don't have a reason to keep doing it, guess what you're left with? The story of, oh, I don't really like it. Rather than on the way down looking for all the little subtle stories we tell ourselves that are like subtle white knuckling, like, you know, the planning. I'm just going to tell all of you, this is like my experience. This is my opinion. This is not like there, I ain't got no facts to back this up or anything. But I will tell you that the girls that keep their weight off continue to make plans. The ones that notice suddenly like, I don't know what happened. I just started gaining a little weight. You know, I'm just not as planning like I used to. It starts with some bullshit around like, well, I've lost my weight. I probably don't have to plan every day. I just need a break from it. If you need a break from planning, you need to be immediately thinking, I need a break from my bullshit story I have about planning. So rather than changing your bullshit story, you're giving up the one thing that's helped you get your weight off. It is the same thing with food. If you're like, I just need a little break from, you know, all my weight loss eating. I just need a break from eating to a two. You don't need a break from eating to satisfy, and you don't need a break from eating healthy. You need to redefine the story you have because that's what you're really wanting. Remember, eating to a two, making a plan, whatever. If you put it in the C line, it's just a circumstance. It can't make you feel anything. Circumstances do not cause feelings. They do not cause us to do things. They also don't cause us to automatically think things. Circumstances are just there. It is up to you to decide, what am I going to think and feel about this? And am I willing to question what I'm thinking and feeling to make sure that I have the emotional energy from my own thoughts propelling me forward in a way that makes me keep the weight off? Okay. Does anybody have questions before we get started? Go ahead and put them in the Q&A and I'll answer them now. It looks like we don't have any questions. It's maybe a very quick call. Laura Gary wants to get coached. I'm going to call on her. If you want to get coached, you need to raise your hand. And if you have a question, you need to put it in the Q&A for me, okay? Oops, I just muted you. Hang on, let me unmute you. There you go. Hey, how are you?
Hey, lady. I'm doing good. I'm really looking forward to this call.
I bet.
So I'm trying to find, I know I did some really good TDLs and I was looking through last month because I thought it was last month. I'm not finding it. But basically, I realized that I've been putting my maintenance range in my four circles for a while, kind of like vaguely. And I decided, okay, I'm going to break it down and be very specific. 5 pounds a month. And I'm going to write down. And I literally wrote 179.5 into this month and wrote it all the way down. And I got to April, 169.5. And all of a sudden my mind went squirrely. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I'm going to keep writing. So I kept writing and then said, why is this the point? Why is this the point where my brain went just squirrely? And so I wrote about like five or six thoughts that I had, and I just wrote them out really fast. I wish I could find them, but wrote them out really fast and then like left them alone and went back the next day and just revisited them with a different ink pen, said, okay, this is comical even. This is like bullshit. This is, why are you letting this just run around in your brain? And I answered them. And so yeah. I thought that was really good. I still feel like, I feel like it's the same issue I've had from day one of coming into the tribe, like getting into the unknown. And I'm like still reprogramming my brain on.
So what is the unknown? Weighing 169.5?
Yeah. Being in a space where I've like the smallest I've ever been before, not, you know, not knowing what that's going to be like or like freaking out by it. I don't even know what. And
what's so freaky about it? Other than you not knowing what it's going to be like, what freaks you? Like, what is it that you imagine is going to happen there?
I mean, I I think that's it, other than just not knowing. Like, I've just never been this small before. I mean, I don't think bad things are going to happen. I'm not thinking that, you know, or like, I remember I actually watched my very first coaching call, and it, you know, you're like, well, what do you think? I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I'm going to do the same thing I'm doing now. I'm going to be, you know, making a plan. I'm going to be doing my stuff. And, you know, I know how to do it. And I'm not even worried about gaining the weight back because I know how to catch it. Like when I did, like I got to a certain point and then I started gaining again. I was like, oh, okay. Well, apparently there was a lesson in the 170s because I went down to almost getting out of the 70s at 170, and then I went back up to about 185. And I was like, well, there was obviously a lesson in the 170s that I needed to learn.
Right.
And I still don't know what that lesson is other than these thoughts that just.
So why did you start eating?
Why did I start what?
Why did you start eating in the 170s?
The only thing that I looked back on that I thought, okay, this is where I've slacked off some, like looking back, because it didn't even feel like I was overeating a lot. I mean, I had some and I did the worksheets, but I was eating out a lot more. Like,
does it matter if you were feeling like you were overeating much? This is one of those weird things that you guys tell me all the time. I didn't feel like it was all that bad. It's like, no, of course not. You were overeating. You probably felt pretty good through it.
But obviously I was, because it was going up and going.
It's one of those thoughts that's so useless and yet we all use it. It's like, well, I didn't think it was that bad. It's like, what if it wasn't bad at all, but it also was overeating and causing weight gain.
And still stopping me from getting to my goal. And so that's why I thought this, like, maybe I have some unchecked thoughts about my goal. Like, what if my goal is right now where I'm at? What if I'm, you know, is there anything wrong with
me? Let's just imagine your goal is not where you're at. Let's just play with you're going to get to 169.5. Where are you at now?
I'm at 177.5.
Okay, so we're going to lose, what is that? Don't ask me, Matt.
That wasn't even my ultimate goal.
Go ahead. What's your ultimate goal?
My ultimate goal is 155 and being in the 150s range, like right in the middle, and then keeping it in that range.
Well, but that's the goal. Let's be down. Right. Why are we not just still going for the 150s is my question.
Well, I'm still writing it down. I'm still putting it in my thing. But when I was going down.
Yeah, but you didn't say that.
I did keep on writing it down, but it was just, I said at that point was where my thoughts got squirrely and I said, oh, this is interesting. Let me keep going. So I still kept writing. I still wrote May. I still wrote June.
I want you to hear what you said. I know what you did, but this is what your brain is saying. My goal was 150 to 155.
Oh yeah.
Like we've released the goal.
I'm talking about it in past tense. Like I still can't even get there. Like there's still something that says,
let me just ask you, why can we not just like, what comes up for you when we say, do you know that my goal is 150 to 155?
Yeah, I just, the thought that comes up is, oh, that's too small. Like, you're not going to be that tiny.
You're not going to be that tiny.
That's one of the thoughts. And I even counteracted that and said, you know, you're not going to be that tiny. So subjective. I can consider myself that tiny right now. Like I like
where
I'm at.
But listen to what you're saying. Even when you say that, you're like judging your thoughts about that rather than just like being really fascinated that that's what's coming up for you.
Yeah,
you're doing a lot of busying yourself on trying to like justify and change things and all this other stuff rather than just being like, oh, like it freaks me out when I think I am going for 150 to 55. So if it freaks me out, no wonder I've kind of let go of that subtly.
Okay. But I don't know why it freaks me out.
Well, you just told me you didn't think you could get there. That's why it freaks. It will always freak us out to say, hey, I'm going to meet Oprah, but you know, I'm never going to meet Oprah. I would probably quit talking about Oprah if I just believed I was never going to meet Oprah. Same thing with their goals. Like, tell me the harm and just balls out believing you're going to get to 150. You're going to like weigh 150 pounds. Like, from now on, I'm going to weigh 150 pounds. Other than feeling icky, what is the downside?
I can't think of any off the top of my head. I mean, there's
no downside to just practicing believing it. Except for when you say it, it really feels like a little arresting. It feels icky.
It feels like, yeah, like clenching. Like I could almost feel my butthole clenching up. Like it just feels like tight. Like, oh, oh
my gosh. So why do you get tense and tight?
I don't know.
Your brain starts thinking, what all has to happen for you to get to 150?
Well, like some of the other things that I wrote was that I can't plan the things that I want, the, you know, like pizza and chocolate. And I wrote about that and said, that's not true. You know, that's a bullshit lie. You have eaten pizza and chocolate the entire way you've lost the weight.
But your brain's believing it. Have you even considered asking yourself, what if that is true? What if it's true that I can't eat pizza and chocolate and stuff to weigh 150? Have you even like gone there just to kind of see like, would I even want to do that? Now this is where we start talking about maintenance level mind work.
Right.
When we start exploring that, that doesn't mean that you can't have chocolate and pizza, but it makes your brain work differently to imagine a life where that is not as important as weighing what you want to weigh.
Right.
Like it just makes you like start thinking in that way. It does not mean, guys, like I know a lot of you are like, well, that's some fucking shit, Corinne. You always tell us we can eat whatever we want. Blah, 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 blah. What I want for all of you to be able to do is get to your goal weight because you decided that the goal was just important to you and you were willing to question everything that you think is important to you. Sometimes we think pizza and chocolate and stuff like that is just so important. And if we keep thinking, I have to have these things, I can't imagine my life without them and blah, 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 then we can't even imagine our life without them. Mm-hmm. It would just be kind of fun to imagine what's a version of Laura that doesn't need those things to have a satisfied life.
Right. And I did answer that a little bit when I came back a little bit and just said, you know, I have eaten these things. However, I will have to make a choice. Do I want to have, how many times do I want to have them? How often do I want to have them? There will be restriction in a good way to get to that point. I mean, I've restricted myself in a good way getting down.
But you're saying there will. Like, I want you to think about this. I think you have it in your mind how it's going to be. And that's why you can't allow yourself to even get there. You're not expanding your brain to all the different ways it could be. You just got through saying, I will have to have some restriction. It's like, what if you don't? What if because restriction is just a feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And what if you just worked on, as you're losing some more weight, you worked on your relationship with chocolate and pizza and stuff like that? And it became less important. And so if you left it, it wouldn't feel restricting. And then you wouldn't have to be restricted at all in order to get there.
Right.
Or you don't have to get rid of any of it. You might find that when you start like just allowing your brain to go to getting down to 150 to 155, it's totally doable, totally possible. And I know I'll figure out the best way possible for me. Like that's another way to be looking at it versus, well, I know it's going to have some restriction and I know it means it's going to be like some no chocolate and stuff. And I know it's going to be, it's like, you don't know jack shit. Like, don't even try to tell yourself you know anything. It's not helpful to think you know it.
Yeah.
It's more helpful to imagine that you can get there in a very relaxed way that allows you to figure out more about you than you ever dreamed possible. That it could be fun, that you get to experiment and try new things, and you get to keep what you like, and you get to like ditch what you don't. But through the process, you'll figure out real clearly the version of you you love. Right now, you're just doing what I call that subtle, like just like, it's not like being mean to yourself, but it's kind of like, I need to protect you because, you know, doomsday's coming. To get to 150, it's doomsday. So we need to set ourselves up to know what to expect. It's going to be all hard and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm sure there will be hard parts. We just don't have to predict them like a crazy person.
Yeah, and just be okay with them. And just be open and okay with them. Like I was in the beginning. Another thought that I had was like the last 30 pounds have to be harder than, they're the last 30 pounds, so they're harder.
Oh, it's so hilarious. Silly.
I lost two sections. I lost 30 pounds twice. I've lost 60 plus pounds and it was fine. It's the exact same amount of weight. But it's just
Exact same amount of weight and you have more skills to get there. Y'all never think of it that way. Y'all always think the last 20 is going to be the hardest because you start going, your brain starts immediately self-imposing hard rules, self-imposing restriction, imagining like terror and fright and like, yeah. So it makes the last 20 really hard because you transition, you go from the first part of it, making changes and being open-minded to what might work.
Right.
You take the last piece and you get close-minded and you decide exactly how shitty this is going to be. And then you wonder why the last 20 is harder. Hard is a feeling generated by a thought. It's not generated by your circumstance line as to what you're eating and what you're not eating.
Yeah. But I'm not even recognizing my thoughts that are getting me there. Like you said, as I'm talking, how I'm just kind of like going back to all of the things that I am creating it hard in my head, and I'm not even aware of them. I don't even know that I'm doing them.
I think the biggest thing for everyone is whenever it feels hard to quit blaming the circumstances or the actions.
Right.
Not having chocolate doesn't make losing the last 20 hard. Thinking I can't have chocolate in order to lose 20 pounds feels like a sentence, a life sentence.
Right.
You have chocolate or you don't. But I would just always tell myself the truth. I'm not eating chocolate right now because I just choose not to eat chocolate right now. Or if I eat chocolate right now, it's like, yeah, I'm going to eat some chocolate right now. Let's see what happens.
Right.
That's how you make it easier. Okay. You just try some shit. You do just like you did in the beginning. But I always think the last 20 is the easiest part if you stop, if you just keep doing what you did in the beginning. Because to me, the beginning is harder because you have to figure out thought work. You have to get over your self-doubt. You actually have to like learn everything the first time. Now we already know all these things. It's literally the same skills. It's just your thoughts about everything that's happening with the last 20, they start shifting and changing and it's staying in tune with those thoughts. That's what makes the last 20 easier. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Mama. Thank you.
Thank you, lady. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You know, y'all, she's pretty much a rock star. She'd be doing all these marathons these days. Jenny says, I feel like normal eaters don't have to write plans, so I shouldn't have to either. I know normal eaters that write plans. I do. Probably the most normal eater in the whole gang at this point. I think that's just a thought that's hosing you, Jenny. If you knew for sure that planning was going to make you a normal eater, and you knew for sure that planning would get all of your weight off, without a doubt, I give you a crystal ball and said, you know what? 365 plans, Jenny. I'm looking into your future. I see goal weight for you. Oh my God. You're like running around thrilled shopping in all the stores that you want. That's amazing. I bet you would be like, sign me up for that one. But most of you, what you do is you come up with these ideas that like, well, people who eat normally don't do that. You know what people who eat normally do? They don't spend all their time thinking about what other normal eaters are doing or not doing. Normal eaters just eat and they do what they know is best. Like I know lots of really help. Like my brother-in-law is a good example. Super healthy dude, all kinds of stuff. Do you know he makes plans every week? Because he's an athlete. And he's real normal. He wants to live a long time. So him and his wife sit down every week. They make meal plans for them, their whole family. Normal as thought. It just depends on what you want to define. I think it's abnormal when people don't want to plan for the life they want. To me, that's not being normal. Like I would plan for the life I want every single day. Part of the life I want is healthy and vibrant. At my goal. I don't eat much food anymore as I lose weight. Amen, sister. Me too, Robin. I lost almost 60 pounds with 75 more to go. How do I work on my thoughts that it will only get worse with less food? Why is less food worse is the real question. Are you finding now that like this is the thing. It's like you need to do some work on your relationship with the amount of food you have now. Like rather than thinking like this is not much. Right. I'm so glad I know how much food it takes to like make this body work. Gosh. And if I'm wanting more food than that, I should go to work on why I'm wanting more food, not fearing I'm not going to be able to eat as much food. And I will just tell you that as you lose weight, guys, you will go through patches where you'll eat about the same amount for a long time and you won't have to eat. You won't have to cut back anymore. But what happens is that as you lose weight, guys, your body requires less food. That's how the body works. The problem isn't it's going to get worse. The problem is somewhere in your brain, you want to overeat still. That if your body is saying, I don't need this much, please stop feeding me. We've got plenty. And you still want to overfeed it. Why? And looking at your reasons, it might be because, well, like I want to be a normal eater. Normal eaters don't overeat just because they want to. They do sometimes by accident, but they don't just be like, this is the time. Had a bad day. Let's go to town. Normal eaters cry after a bad day. They share their sorrows with people. They go read a book. They don't say like the solve for my bad day is I need to eat. Also guys, just want to make sure that you all know that we do have a 20 to lifetime subgroup here in Facebook. So if you guys want to join that, Michelle Fox is our mentor for that one. Make sure you join it. So it's for everybody who wants to discuss all those things. How do you suggest finding our goal or maintenance range? I was on Weight Watchers before and they gave me a range based on the BMI chart. I'm down 60 pounds total. And 6 cents joining in January. I went from 213 to 153. Good for you, mama. I want to be 135, but it's literally because I want to see that number. I think it's fine if you want to see that number. Here's one of the things that I think is really fascinating. Like, Azizi, I would probably just, if you really want to see that number, number one, ask yourself why. What do I think life's going to be like at that number that's different than now? And it may be amazing things. Like, I think just allowing yourself to kind of see what all that is. It's like very often for me, like, you know, the reason why I like being like closer to 150 than I like being closer to 160 is I love seeing my shoulders. Just do. I know my body. When I'm closer to 150, the arms start looking real good. Like all the things start happening. And I love that. And that's not something that I want to like let go of. I just admire my shoulders and arms and they deserve to be seen. When I'm closer to 160, I know it's time to kind of like, I know that's my maintenance range. My body looks a little softer. That's the point where I really want to be like, okay, we've had our summer fun. Time to get back down. I just want to see. The thing with 135 is a lot of, like if you get down there, you don't like it. Let's say you don't like the look. You're like, you know what? It's like, I want to be able to go out to eat a little bit more or whatever it is. Then you just decide to gain a little weight back. You don't like say, fuck it, and all that other stuff. You purposely start eating the way you really want with integrity with yourself that feels very nurturing and caring from a place of self-love, not from a place of needing the food. And then you just gain a little weight, but you gain some of that weight back with that intention. A lot of times what we do is we end up gaining a little bit of weight back without it being intentional. We just start having, like, we just kind of cope with food again. We start letting some of the old behaviors slide back in, like, well, you know, I've kind of had a bad day, or, well, you start using food to connect with people instead of remembering that connection is created from a thought. It's just staying on top of your thought work, guys. How do you get over your mental bullshit that comes with staying within same 5 pound radius? I'm losing and gaining the same 5. I have 20 more to pound and yet I'm not making any traction. There's no mental bullshit that needs to be getting over about the plateau other than you thinking the plateau is causing you problems. There's the plateau. You have a thought about it that makes you feel a certain way, which is probably frustration, rather than you have a plateau and you generate a thought about it that's like, this is interesting that I keep losing and gaining the same 5 pounds rather than choosing to lose the 5 pounds. Looking at, like thinking to yourself, what is it that I'm doing when I, like, what could be causing me to be in a plateau versus how do I get over being frustrated with being on a plateau? I would rather you just solve for the plateau. If you are bouncing in the same 5 pounds, I guarantee you, if you go through your data, you will find out why. It will come down to breaking your plans, overeating. It does not have to be in wild abundance. It can be just a lot of you, especially when it gets to the last 20, you'll sit there and you'll be like, well, I do really good, except every now and then. I'm like, all right, why are we not just fixing the every now and then? Why are we just being pissed and frustrated all the time that we're not able to lose weight while still doing what we say we want, not doing what we say we're going to do? That's like, let's just tell the truth. And then if you are always doing what you say you are going to do, then the next phase is like, all right, I'm doing everything that I say I'm going to do and blah, blah, blah. Am I willing to test? Am I truly waiting for my hunger? Am I actually stopping at my new two that is here? Or do I have to get over the hump of like, yeah, smaller ass requires smaller fuel? That's the part that's hard for a lot of people. But a lot of you, what you want to do is you start restricting how much you can eat and stuff, and you don't address the half-ass part. Like, do not sit there and eat less and change things unless your ass has done the work on the part where you ain't doing what you say you were going to do. And I don't care if it's every now and then. Clean up every now and then. Don't avoid that part of the work. And the reason why you avoid that work, because that's the hardest part to clean up. Because that's the part that you're hanging on to emotionally deal with life. That's the part where you got to get in there and work on your life and sit through an urge. As I'm planning and realizing I don't need much food to get to satisfied, how do I fit in both the foods I enjoy and the food I know I need, such as fruits and vegetables? For example, would be I have a salad and chips for lunch and use fruit and nuts as my snack. I don't need my snack today. So my thought is my level up would switch the chips out for my fruit, but I'm not sure I realistically want that. This is where you just go into deciding, like, okay, if you're not hungry for your snacks, like for a few days in a row, it's probably just time to like drop the whoopee snack. A lot of people keep snacks in. And it's like the moment they slightly feel maybe the whisper or hint of hunger, like, thank God I got a snack planned. And then they'll eat their snack when, like, in reality, their body is starting to kind of tell them, like, oh, I don't know that you need a snack anymore. Like, I haven't snacked in years. Like, I think it's been at least 2 years now. And I wasn't snacking that much beforehand. I just don't snack. I never, like, today, I got up this morning. I knew I was going to work out at 1:30 today. Got up and I went ahead and ate my breakfast first thing in the morning. I did not eat again till 3. I ate at 7. I did not need a snack. I never got legit hungry. Now, by the time I worked out and I was done, was fucking ready to eat. But I wasn't even at a -4. I was at my 2 at that point. Like, when you get used to not needing food to entertain you or to be a safety net or to just be there just in case and all this other stuff, you'll realize you don't have to eat near as much. I don't even know, like, technically, I don't even know if I'll eat dinner tonight. I'll probably eat a little something. I'll probably get hungry about 7:30, maybe around that time, but it will be really light. And guys, I work out. I work all day. I do the things like you guys do. It's that I've given away the thought that I need a certain amount of food. I've just decided my body will truly let me know what I need. And I just want to go with my body. I don't want to overthink it anymore. I don't want to feel like I need to travel around with snacks and stuff just in case. Like it's such an, I want you to think about it. I got my snacks just in case. There's a little frantic there. I think in the beginning, it's fine to have them. I'm not like poo-pooing on any of you who do that. I really am not. But what I want you to do is start thinking like when I have my snacks, do I like continually question, you know, am I really even needing them? Most humans are not doing so much in this day and age that they need to eat like we've been conditioned to eat over the years. It's very different. When you, if you took all, like, this is a great question for all of you. If you took all the emotion out of the eating, like just for a moment, just think, I just want to just even think about my days. If I took all the emotion out and I like legit was just going to eat because I'm hungry. This tastes good. Thank you. And we're done. Would your food life be any different? Would some of your decisions around like your snacking and like deciding, is it going to be fruit or is it going to be chips? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be that? It's not to say that you cannot have fun with food and that you can't have what you want and all that other kind of stuff. It's just allowing yourself to imagine a different version of you eating. And then somewhere in the middle becomes the one that you want to be. That's more of what I want you guys seeing. It's not so much that, well, you told us we get to eat whatever we want. It's like, yeah, I just want to teach you how to want food that gets you everything that you want, not just what you want for a meal. And I want to teach you guys how to decondition wanting food for all of the emotional, like, life. And reprogram you to wanting food to create your best life, not to just get through your life and letting that be the blips of happiness. How can I start to believe there I will get to my goal? You start with writing it every day. You write the goal, you write, there's like, I'm going to get there. You like, you do work outside, like every single time your brain tries to tell you you're not going to get there, it's redirect to what you want to think, redirect to what you want to think. Sorry, I'm just a hiccuping all this extend I'm drinking. You have to sit there and you have to recondition your brain. If it goes to not believing, you have to tell it over and over again that you will get there. It needs the anchor of where to go to. It doesn't, it's not fun to redirect your brain in the beginning, guys, but it's worth it. It's not easy to catch all the thoughts, but you get better at it as you practice. It's also not like going to hurt you to think things you don't believe yet. The only chance you'll ever have at believing something new is by thinking something new enough times to where your brain starts trying to find evidence of the truth. So like one of the things that you can do is like not only write it down every single day, but you like once a week, you could just write a few sentences about this week. These were the things that happened that gives me evidence that I can lose all of my weight, that I can get to my goal weight. Like I ate on plan 5 out of 7 days. I asked questions in the call on Monday night. I caught myself overeating and did a discovery worksheet. Like thinking about all the things, you guys get really hammed up in the evidence that you create for your weight loss has to be your perfection. No, you're not going to lose weight perfectly. And so all the times that you're doing like the really hard work of like discovery worksheets and catching yourself and reorienting your brain on what success looks like, that's how you start believing that you're going to get to your goal. My thought is I'm going to look weird at my goal weight, too skinny or sickly, no ass or shape. Michelle, why don't we just figure it out once we get there? You don't have it. Like, here's the other truth. I have no clue what I'm going to look like when I hit my goal weight. I could look fucking amazing. You might look sickly and gain 5 pounds back. Who knows? But sitting around trying to think about it, I would just be like, thought error, waste of time. Does anybody want coaching real quick? I just want to make sure that I'm not going to ignore anybody. Raise your hand if you do. As I've gotten smaller, I've been able to push my fitness between cardio and weights. I was convinced I needed to add a snack because I was legit hungry, even though I had given up snacks. For the past 6-8 weeks, I've not been able to get the scale to move. I have 10 pounds left to lose to get into my goal range. Do I ditch the snack, adjust my +2, and keep rolling with my exercise? I would just keep rolling with the exercise. I'd try not snacking. See what happens. See if that's enough. I never snack for a workout. Majority of my workouts, unless I work out in the afternoon, like my 90-minute workouts, like I don't do 90 minutes very often, but like once or twice a week, I have these 90-minute workouts, completely fasted, no snacking. And I do just fine. A lot of people actually find that when they don't eat, they actually do better. Some people do need to have a snack, but the only way you're going to know if you actually need one is to quit thinking about do you need one and actually test not eating and see what it does. Give it like a week, not one workout, because your brain will probably be all consumed with, am I like working out weaker? Give it like a week of some workouts and see what happens. I find I'm stronger and better when I work out like without food. That's why like today I even worked out so far away from breakfast, because I just like, I always end up being more slower and I lift less weights when I have food. Every single time. Allie Songs, let's call on you. Rebecca set an initial goal of 165, which is total weight loss of about 50. I guess my maintenance range will be 155 to 165. I use the am I an 8 or better realistic thinking when I set this goal. Is that a useful way? I think that's a very useful way to think about it. I think that's great. Hey, Allie.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Getting coached today.
Awesome.
I never remember going to these live. I am in my last 10. I've lost 20. I'm in my last 10. And my brain is like a monkey cage because I've been at the same, bouncing back and forth since November.
Okay.
I'm on the last 20 Facebook group, and that's actually been very helpful for me.
Good.
But I'm just getting very frustrated because I can't figure out what to do in terms of leveling up.
Well, tell me like why you think, like, tell me first of all, are you 100% compliant with your plans?
I'm at, November? Yeah, this month I'm at 50%.
Okay. So we know why.
I made plans 100%. I'm sorry. I just talked right over you.
You're Say fine. Again? I said, so we don't need to level up yet.
Okay.
If we're at 50%, I like how your brain's like, I need to make the part that I'm doing harder.
Right. Well, I make the plan. I'm at 100% in terms of making the plan, but I'm only at 50% in terms of following it.
Okay. So
every week I see that line, like level up. I'm going, I don't know what else to do.
I know what to do. Get following my plan from 50% to 75% this week. How am I going to do that?
Okay. So following, getting basic, getting back to basics.
We lose all of our weight with just the basics. That's what it cracks me up about it. So I need to get back to the basics. It's like, should probably never leave them.
Right. Fair.
Notice how when we deviate from the basics, we don't lose our weight.
Yeah, I'm finding it very slow and discouraging. You know, it's like at this stage, it's like an eighth of a pound, a half of a pound. And you did this talk last week about celebrating even the smallest losses, and that was really helpful. But I I'm doing the level of planning I did in the beginning, but it doesn't seem to be.
But are you executing the plan?
No. And I'm I'm not realistically planning any longer. That's what I'm having trouble with.
Why? Why not just realistically plan? Because I'm going to tell you right now, unrealistically planning has you at 50% frustrated and losing way slower than you need to be.
Right. In the beginning, I had no problem putting down, oh, I'm going to have a glass of wine on Saturday, or I'm going to plan for the chocolate or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And now I just find, you know, with the end in sight, I mean, I know it's another journey, but as I get closer, I find I don't want to allow myself to put in those things that I know I'm going to do anyway. So that's really
so
where the
struggle
is.
Why don't we just plan for them so that we're not bastardizing the relationship we have with them and making them the fearful foods and the fearful things that we can't have. Do you see how you're like back ending your way into like making sure that it's basically saying, okay, in order to get to my goal, I need all my old diet rules to come back in full force. So where are they? Let me resurrect them.
That's right. Yeah. Right. It's like going through an old file cabinet. I'm sort of doing this and then thinking, okay, what worked in the past, but obviously.
Well, I will tell you, it's very common for people. It's easier to be frustrated that things aren't moving, but getting everything you that you want than it is to be scared to plan for the things that you're wanting and see what happens.
Okay. So I think what I'm hearing you say is plan for what I think is going to happen.
Plan for what you really want because you're scared that you're not going to lose weight eating those things.
Right. And that's where I'm at. I'm scared I'm going to, and then I wind up doing it anyway.
Right. Because when you're scared, you stop following your plans. So you break them to get what you want.
Yes.
Versus just planning for them and seeing in what way can you plan for them and still, like, I'm suggesting let's plan for the things you want in a way that allows you to lose your weight. But you've got to believe that you're going to be able to plan and lose your weight. But it's going to take testing and trying things and all this other stuff. Right now, what you're doing is you're saying, well, I'm so scared I'm not going to be able to lose weight. I'm not going to plan for the things I want. And I'm going to set myself up to feel deprived.
Yes.
And then I'm going to like bust my plans so I can get the things that I want. So that then I can drop into my frustrated model of, I don't know why shit's not working.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why shit's not working phase. So yeah.
It's okay. Not that all shit's right. Not working. It's like Allison forgot to like work the basics.
Okay.
Plan for those things.
All right.
Because what will happen is just like in the very beginning is you will plan for your wine and you will plan for your chocolate and all this other stuff. While also the version of you who wants to lose the last 10 pounds is sitting like sidecar with you. And sometimes it'll be on the plan and you will have been daydreaming and thinking and, you know, really wanting to lose weight. And like, you know, probably just skip the wine tonight. It's probably not that big a deal. It's okay. Rather than right now, what you're doing is like, I can't have wine tonight because it's such a big fucking deal to get these last 10 pounds off.
Yes.
And then you come into the evening and you're all like, I don't get to have wine. I don't get to have wine. Fuck this. I'm having some wine.
Right. Fair enough. All right.
We just give ourselves, when we plan for things, you give yourself the option of having it or not having it. You also give yourself the option of sometimes seeing like we're making a glass of wine way bigger of a deal because a lot of you, what I also watch is like a glass of wine. Like if you planned for a glass of wine, you probably wouldn't plan to have any other bullshit with it. Right. Like that's what I did.
Like exactly. It's like my thing, you know, my special thing. Yeah.
But if I end up drinking wine behind my own back, I usually sidecar it with a little douche of something else. Like it's either one extra glass because I've already blown it, or it's like, well, I might as well have a few fries off of Chris's plate because I'm drinking now. Like, you know, I might as well make the most of this experience. And when you make the most of it, some of us, we just add just enough to keep us in a holding pattern. Like, we're not like gaining weight and out of control and all this other
right.
stuff, but we're
right.
hamstringing ourselves. We're like, you know what? I'm going to run a marathon and I'm going to like pull a hammy and go out and do it. It's like, it sucks and it's painful and it's hard and it's frustrating when you go in injured. And that's what we do when we're not planning. It's like starting the weight loss race injured.
Yeah.
And wondering why it sucks and why we might have to get pulled. So it's just back to basics. Oh. It's a boring yeah. answer, but it requires right. you to override being scared it won't work. Because right now you're already frustrated that it's not working.
That's right.
You're probably already experiencing scared you'll never get there. I just yes. now want you to do it on purpose in a way that's going to hopefully get you there.
Right. Okay. All right. That's my 1% up, level up, follow the plan.
Yeah. Just follow the yeah. plan.
Right.
Follow the plan.
Okay.
And then once you get to where you're back to following the plan, back to following the plan, then you start going in and you look at the 1% and say, okay, so I've been playing. Let's say, like, how many times a week do you want to have wine?
Twice is fine.
Okay. So 1, 2, 3 glasses. You like me? I gotta have 3.
2 to 3.
Yeah,
to
I'm
three
the same way. Yeah. I'm just like, it yeah. ain't a plan unless 3 glasses is on it. Like, why are we bothering if we're not going to drink 3? So it's like one of those things where, you know, when it's time to level up, you might be like, you know what? I'm going to try drinking wine twice this week. I normally plan 3. One time I'm going to do 2. One time I'm going to do 3. That's where 1% starts coming into play. But it's because right. you're already following things. And then that's when 1% happens. For you right now, 1% is more about getting consistent with what the 4 basics are. So for a lot of you, what happens is you're trying to, like, I watch this all the time. This happens more so in the last, like, that last half of weight loss than it does in the beginning. But I watch you guys try to solve not sticking to your plan and losing weight with making the times that you are sticking to your plan harder. Like, well, let me just really knuckle down in these times and just kind of forget about all these times I'm not doing the shit I say I'm going to do. It's like, wrong. Let's address the times where we're not doing what we say we're going to do. Let's fix that part first.
Right. You had said, I don't remember exactly when, about what can you do to make it easier? And I just about busted a gut laughing. Like, this is not easy. This is super, super hard. And, but I think there's something, because I'm very consistent about working out. That's not an issue. And I wish I could kind of take that same mindset, and I'm good at the planning. I wish I could take the same mindset and move it to following what I'm saying I'm going to do. But I think what I'm hearing you say is it'll be easier to follow if I put in some things that I'm actually doing anyway.
Yeah.
And then just focus on.
You'll just now be drinking and eating them on purpose.
Right. You know, like dealing in the reality of what's happening rather than the fantasy.
So what is your mindset about exercise? Like, what's your thought?
It's just a habit at this stage.
And okay, that's all we got to do. Then you need to make this one just a habit.
Yeah, it's a habit. I feel great afterwards. So there's like an upside after, you know.
Do you ever tell yourself that when it's time to like follow that plan? You're going to feel great after. It's just like exercise. Sometimes you don't want to do it.
Never.
Yeah. You just need to take that mindset and translate it on over. That's it. Like, a lot of you are like, I just wish that mindset would magically appear. It's like, the only reason why it's appearing over there is because you've practiced thinking that.
Yes.
So guess what? Figure out what you're thinking over there that's so good about it, and then do that over here. Practice thinking it until it becomes the habit, until it becomes the mindset.
Right.
Like, wishing for it to transpose doesn't ever help. It's the application is what helps.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very helpful. I appreciate it.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, man. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Let's do another. What do we got? My gym offers body testing. How accurate are the scales that calculate your body's ideal weight? Not very accurate. I just don't even worry about those things. I just go with what do I want to think? How do I want to be in my body? Like, what do I want to weigh? Just like, guys, I just tell you, pick a number and go for it. either pick one that makes you comfortable and then reassess there, or pick one that makes you super uncomfortable and be like, I'm all in on some discomfort. Whichever one, there's no right or wrong. Let's see. Let's take one more. Lisa Merriman. Did it come through? Well, it looks like it's not working. Boston Jen.
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hey. Yes, I can.
I just clicked video. I think I'm there.
What you need, what you want coaching on?
Well, so I've been having trouble figuring out this whole maintenance range situation. I joined the tribe in September 2018.
Oh, Lisa, I'll call on you next. For some reason, it delayed.
I got disconnected. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I got disconnected for some reason.
All right. No problem. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No worries. So I joined the tribe when I was already in maintenance and coming over from Weight Watchers and just trying to figure out how to maintain. And I've done really well with it. And mostly I'm really happy with my life and my body and all of that stuff now, which is great. In 2019 and now moving into 2020, I've really been focused on strength training. And so I've upped it from like 2 days a week, 30 minutes, like HIIT style kind of classes at lunch, to 3 or 4 days a week. And I'm definitely seeing changes. Like I can feel my abs. I can sometimes see them. Like my legs are getting stronger. It feels great. And then of course the number on the scale is going up. So when I joined the tribe, I was probably closer to 140, but on average I'm around 145, and I've been closer to 150 lately. And I feel like it keeps creeping up a little bit.
And are you eating more?
I really don't feel like I am. That's the thing. And sometimes
but do you
I
know?
Really am hungry. I don't think I'm eating more.
Okay. Are you having any, let me just tell you the thing about muscle. The only way muscle builds is if you overfeed for it to build. I am an ex bodybuilder. Like I know
that makes
these
sense. And that's why I want to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah. There's got to be some kind of overfeeding happening.
Okay.
If you're gaining weight.
Yeah. Now,
okay.
Something's happening.
But if you like, look, here's the other thing though. And when I say overfeeding, I don't mean like you're like face down eating ding dongs and all this other stuff. But you know, when you do train more and when you do lift more and stuff, I don't know. Do you experience more hunger?
Yes.
Are you feeding that hunger?
Most of the time, yes. Some of the time I'll just try to push through it. I eat mostly whole foods. I prepare my own foods. I am a vegetarian, so sometimes I struggle getting in protein and fat, but I really try to focus on getting in good, healthy versions of both of those things. So
what about
I do sometimes feed it. Yeah.
What is your post-workout nutrition?
So I usually eat lunch when I come back because it's technically during my lunch break. So lunches are often either a yogurt and fruit and maybe something else, or like I do a lot of like roasted veggies with cheese or brown rice or things like that.
Okay.
That's pretty typical.
Okay. So what are your, like when you're getting like, so that, I mean, that's fine. I will tell you the most, like if you're going to be lifting heavy and you're going to be like doing more weight training and stuff, what you eat after that whatever meal comes after that is always going to be the most important meal for a variety of reasons. Number one is it's the one that's going to like your body will be most primed in that time to take in all the nutrients. Like it's going to be like, yeah, it's going to be like Pac-Man rah, 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 doing all the things. And if you don't do good nutrition right after that part, like if you don't give it the best, and sometimes what it does is it spikes hunger later, even into the next morning, to compensate for what it didn't get in that window.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily mean you need more food. It's saying you may not be getting the right mix of food that it could benefit from.
That's interesting, because that is sometimes what happens. And sometimes like the first day or two of the week when I'm working out, I'm fine. And then by the third or the fourth day, I feel like I'm starving all of the time. And I can't, I can't shake it. So that's interesting. So maybe what I'm eating for lunch, I do need to switch up a little bit, and maybe that will
I would
help
eat
this.
Something denser. I think the meal that you have that works better, like the yogurt fruit one, is the one that I'm like, that's probably the one that your body can't utilize as well. So okay. Like if you could, do you do beans?
Yeah.
Okay. So like if you, your brown rice meal, if you can throw some beans and your roasted vegetables and some fat in that one, you kind of want to think about that meal needs to be dense.
Okay.
You know, and like, and I would probably for you even like, and I'm not a nutritionist or anything like this. This is just like my old bro science that and I've never been a vegetarian. So I'm really trying. I'm going out on the limb here on this one, but that meal I would probably eat to a 3, not to a 2. So that you have your other meals where you're not like hitting your negative 2 so often that you're having to eat again and again and again. Just try that.
Sometimes I do overnight oats with protein powder and milk and a little bit of fat in the morning. I wonder, would that be a reasonable option for lunch too if I switched it and did my like eggs in the morning with the veggies and the cheese?
Oh yeah. Depending like I think that would almost be even better. I remember back when I had to go this one period, I was getting ready for a competition and I gained 30 pounds to take off 30 pounds trying to build muscle.
Yeah.
And I ate more oatmeal than any living human being should ever have to eat. And one of my post-workout meals was, it was basically, we just blended oats up in a shake, but it's like overnight oats. It had fruit, it had fat, it had oats, it had protein in it. Now I was like, but remember back then I was literally eating 7 times a day to gain weight. So, it's so funny. When I look back on that, I am like, God, so many people would be like, oh, you got to eat all you want. And I'd remember like being sick, just like, one more meal. Are we serious?
And it's not super exciting food. So
no. It's like so much oatmeal and broccoli and like rice. It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think I would try that. But I wouldn't get too like, this is the other thing that I just want to say is that if you like how your body is shaping up and you like what's happening with your body, don't get too consumed that you are now like pushing at 150. Mm-hmm. Just try to like just do a little research more on some like some post-workout nutrition. But you sound like you're doing fine. I just think sometimes like if you, when you're extra hungry, when are you noticing it? Is it through the afternoon and evenings and stuff?
Yes. Yeah, I'll eat lunch and then I'll feel like I'm hungry like an hour and a half, 2 hours later and like ravenous and I'm going to get on the train and then I get nauseous and it's not good.
Okay. So you're probably really just, this is probably like, I rarely get to talk to somebody where I'm like, I think we've just got like a nutrition thing going on here. I really think you have a nutrition thing going on here. I think making that meal denser and making it like even your first meal of the day, you know, that good solid eggs and cheese and vegetable meal, and then having a nice dense meal after that, probably you'll see a difference in the back half because whatever you're eating at lunch should not spike your hunger an hour and a half later.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to try this tomorrow. I'm excited.
One other thing you can do, just like on a sidebar, is whatever you eat at dinner, pull out your carbs further down, make that more eggs, and like that's where you're going to put like a lot of your fat into. That will help a lot. Yes, dinner should have a lot more fat in it. One, it'll help your joints and your muscles.
Yeah.
You'll notice that you won't like, you'll be able to sustain, like lifting 3 or 4 days a week.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever done that before?
Lot. Not until recently. No.
Yeah. It's what you'll notice first. Yeah, it is. You stay sore all the fucking time and you'll notice your joints start feeling weird. Like, you know, it's a lot of pressure on the joints. So having those really good fats at night allows you to go to bed with really good fats for your body to use to like lube up your joints and stuff overnight.
Okay. I'm going to have to think about that. Cause fats is another thing. I feel like I have a hard time trying to get in. I usually use like oils and cheese and maybe some nuts and things like that.
Do you like avocado at all?
I need to overdo that. I eat avocado all the time.
God, half an avocado every night, throw some olive oil on anything you eat, you've got your fat.
Okay. That's good.
I wouldn't look to cheese as your fat content. Like one way to make it easier to make sure you're getting really good fat is like, because cheese has like protein and fat in it. It's not really a fat source to me. Like I think of a fat source as like olive oil, coconut oil, like avocado, like, you know, just anything in the fat realm, you know, that's seeds, lots of seeds on salads, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right. That's helpful. I'm just going to switch things up, and it's kind of small tweaks, which will be not hard to implement. Yeah.
Just keep playing with that food until you notice that your afternoon hunger is way more tolerable.
Okay.
All right. Get after it, man.
Will do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Man, y'all, I feel so old school. I haven't been able to talk about like muscle nutrition in forever. It takes so little for me to get excited. All right, Lisa, you're the last one. Let's do it. I gained 9 pounds last week, and I think it was due to my period, but I have an IUD, so I don't know for sure, and I didn't typically gain that much. Sorry, I did gain 4 and then lost 6 the next week. Trying not to stress over it in my back of my mind. Is it possible to gain 9 pounds in a week, or is it or is this probably period weight? I mean, nobody is gaining 9 pounds of fat in a week, guys. Like it is, I mean, unless you went on some kind of weird Nathan's hot dog eating contest for a week, I don't know, but it's probably hormonal, Melanie. I wouldn't, there's never an opportunity to freak out though. Like your question is, should I be freaking out? It's like, no, shouldn't freak out about it. You should just look at like, I would track it as this week to see if this is your normal hormonal cycle so that you know, like I always gain 4 to 5 pounds, sometimes up to 7 on my period, y'all. It just depends on the month. And then, but if you lost 6 of it the next week, we know a good bit of that was hormonal. Just don't eat through that shit though. Like make sure that like when I was talking earlier, before we start, like don't make any changes unless you like say like, all right, was I 100% following my shit? If I'm not 100%, where am I not 100%? Get laser focused on fixing that before you start overcorrecting in other areas. All right, Lisa, what are we talking about?
Well, I have lost 35 pounds and I have kind of come, I don't want to say a plateau because I know part of it is I'm not following my plans. I'm like 61%.
Yeah. So there's no, so 61% is not a plateau. So like tell your brain, oh,
no.
You're trying to create stories to feel better. I know what you're doing. We can just feel better making changes.
Yeah, exactly. But my problem comes in, I'm a special needs teacher and my day is planned as such that I have lunch at 12:30.
Okay.
And it's most days I'm hungry.
Okay.
I don't know that I would be at like my -2 during that time. But if I don't eat, then it could very well be 4 o'clock in the afternoon before I get a chance to stop long enough to get something besides a bite of something here or there. So I struggle with that and I plan on getting on the Facebook group and asking some other teachers, you know, how do you handle that?
But let me ask you this. If I only was able to, let's say that Corinne can only take a lunch at 12:30, which a lot of days that is the only time I get to because of all my meetings. Cause I can't just show up to meetings and calls like y'all, I gotta eat my dinner. Y'all in my dinner hour.
Exactly.
Right. So if that was me, and I knew that I wasn't going to get to eat until like 6 o'clock at night, 4 o'clock, whatever it is. And I wasn't really hungry at 12:30. What do you think I would do?
Maybe eat a little, have a snack, eat something just a little, not much.
Yeah.
So you get to that.
If I'm not all that hungry, it ain't going to take all that much to get me to my 2. And then I should have no problem waiting till 4 o'clock. Because a 2 will take me to 4. Just because you only eat a few bites because you weren't all that hungry.
Uh-huh.
Means you got to your 2, right?
Yeah. Okay. My other thing is I'm a grab-asser. I come home
And it's not so that our problem.
Like, I just let me just say, this is what cracks me up. All of you do this to me constantly. You're like, I want to talk about what's not really the problem and get your sage advice in on what's really not the problem, like my plateaus and my stalls and my, you know, my, and you know, I also am just not really eating on plan and I'm grab ass and I'm like, why are you really leading with, like, tell me this. This is so good. Why did you not just say, like, I know exactly what the problem is. I'm a grab ass, or can we talk about that?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm a grab ass.
But why didn't you lead with that is the question.
I don't, because I mean, I know I am, but I don't grab ass all the time. I just, and I guess the biggest thing is my feelings around that, some of that. And I've done some TV.
What are your feelings around it?
My feeling is, it's just a bite. It's not going to hurt anything. And that's not true. And I know that. But that's what I, at the time, that's what I tell myself. It's okay.
Yeah,
you're
so
just
now
gonna have a bite here. You're just going to have a bite there. And
but that's good to know. You know your excuse and your justification that now gets you there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we want to know that. So when you see leftover chips on the counter, that's your C. And your thought is, not a big deal. Let's just have that. And we feel very nonchalant. Then we eat whatever.
Yeah.
What I need you to do, though, is do a lot of work on that outside of when you're seeing chips. Y'all have to quit expecting that just because you know, like, well, I keep doing discovery worksheets and I notice the pattern. And then you kind of like dead stop. It's like, okay, like, so what are we going to do about it? So are you visualizing? Are you like identifying like, okay, it's in particular, like I catch myself in the pantry. So now I have a plan of not going to the pantry. Is it like drilling it down and then coming up with very specific solutions to it? Visualizing yourself like doing this work on a Saturday morning. On like looking at every grab ass you had for the week. And rather than going, oh, well, I just keep telling myself the same thing. Like that's not coming up with solutions. That's commiserating with your memory.
So I should like maybe keep a log of all my grab assing and then.
Oh, well, only if you want them to go away.
Because my.
Let me ask you this.
Because that's.
So if your problem is in the moment, you say a little bit won't hurt and it feels like it's just happening fast and automatic. Is that the way it is? Because a lot of people it is.
Yeah.
Like, does it ever sometimes feel like you're like, eating before you even know you're eating?
Not very often. I usually know I'm eating. And then like yesterday I started to, I like plantain chips. So I had just gotten some. And so I grabbed some, ate one and went, what the hell are you doing? And I threw the rest in back in the container, but it's like,
okay, so that's good. But here's the problem. You asked a question that's punitive. Like, you're wrong for doing it. Versus going, oh, I just noticed I'm doing this. I should put this away. And I need to make a note in my thing. Like today it was just one plantain. The progress that I'm seeing is the thought that got me to eat the one was. So because that, when you do all of that, you're not in frustration and you're not in judgment. And then when you do all of that, what you're doing is you're examining it. You're watching it and like you're allowing yourself to study it. And then you say like, okay, so the next time where I'm about to eat or where I catch myself eating, this is what I want to think. And this is what I want to do. Because then your brain practices it. It studies it outside the moment. What you guys do this, you do this all the time. You sit there and you'll say things like, I don't know why I'm doing it. I say the same stuff all the time. It's this punitive like whining about your behavior. And I'm like, well, I mean, you can sit around and be frustrated and whine about it, or we can just start working on it. Which one do you want to do? But you got to like,
yeah, I want to work on it.
So do it like if you notice you grab ass a lot during the week, then do it like Sunday at 7 a.m. Like track all of them all week long and then think about, I wonder what I was thinking when I ate that one. I don't really know, but I know I told myself a little bit won't hurt. So what I really need to do is be on the lookout for when I start thinking a little bit won't hurt. I also notice that it's usually after school. So if my bullshit excuses and justifications are going to come up, it's almost always between these windows. So for this week, what I want to do is pay really close attention during that window and like watch myself. So maybe I can catch it a little sooner. That's how you work on the behavior. But this like,
okay,
this sucks. I don't know why I keep doing it. And rah, rah, rah. It's like, it doesn't like allow your brain to go to work on the solution at all. It's just kind of whining that it's happening. It's like, you know, you're doing it and you're doing some discovery worksheets, but you're not really working on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's what I needed. I guess I wasn't sure how to tackle that. How do I, you know, but writing those down and then kind of sitting there and looking at it and
from every
telling
angle.
Myself, this is, okay.
And dropping that judgment. Like, don't be frustrated that it happened. Guys, whenever you overeat, it is such a waste of time to be frustrated that it happened. It's already happened. Mm-hmm. So now, that overeat is automatically, you got two ways to think about it. It shouldn't have happened, and I suck because it did, and I can't figure my shit out, and I don't know what's going on. Or you move over to, it's happened. This is obviously a part of the process for me. There's something here that needs to be uncovered. What is it? Because the truth is, if you're going to actually lose your weight, it's a part of the process because it's already happened.
Yeah. Okay.
You thinking that it's not part of the process pisses you off.
Yeah.
It slows you down.
Yeah. Because I mean, I was doing really great, and I mean, I just kind of, it all kind of started when I lost that weight. And so I was trying to adjust my plus two again. Mm-hmm. And I do my plans every day. I feel like I have realistic plans. And then I do these, you know, I do that grab ass and I'm just like, why am I doing that? Or I'll,
you know why you're doing
it. My plan. Yeah, I know why I'm doing it because I want it and I'm not sitting with my urge and I'm not.
You just dismissed everything we just talked about.
I didn't mean to. So I'm doing it because.
Because you haven't found the solution yet.
Solution to why. Yeah. And I've convinced myself that it's okay too. And it's not okay. So I need to sit down and do that and find my solution for that.
Yeah. And you're probably going to have to find like 30 of them and test every one of them to see which one is the solution.
Yeah. I will do that. My accountability group's on here cheering me on. So they're going to hold me to it.
There you go. I think that's the biggest lesson for all of you, whether like you're working on the last 10 or whatever is happening, is be more invested in solving what's going on than going, I just don't know why it's happening to me. I just don't know why. Like, I obviously just want the food. It's like, well, that gives you no information.
Yeah.
Of course you want the food, but that's not a bad thing. It's like, yeah, I know in the moment I want to eat it. So now I need to figure out how to be more conscious of my wants rather than, because the way you said it, it was like, this is how you said it. Well, no, it's because I just want it, parentheses, because I suck. You know what I mean? It was like,
yes, and I don't, and I'm trying really hard to have that positive.
Yeah, like my version is, of course I want it, and I need to be more conscious of my wants in the moment. So how am I going to do that? Like my brain is just like, this is something to solve. And you're just like, this is a stain on my humanity, my wants of like a bite.
All right. Well, I will work on that, and I'm coming to camp in April. So
awesome. I was just sending Paula some information about camp where it's going to be legit. Legit.
I'll have to give you my list of solutions to this whole thing.
Yeah. So. You'll have them.
All right.
Have them. All right.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Alrighty. Bye, lady.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, I'm going to call it with that. This is a good call. I think we covered a lot of things. If you have not checked out July Camp, everybody keeps talking about the camps they're coming to and the events. We're pretty much sold out for the year except for July. So if you're going to be coming and seeing me and getting coached and doing all the things, July is the month to do it. So make sure you go over to pnptribe.com, go to the events tab, and you can check out the last camp available. October has a couple of openings left, but it's going to sell out pretty soon. So I would just start looking and planning for July. It is, I think it's around July 17th. It's the Saturday after my birthday. So if you want to party with the Queen, because the Queen celebrates the whole month of July, that might be the call, might be the camp to come to. Just saying. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.